بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, dear visitors, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So we find ourselves in the first week of the blessed month of Ramadan, and we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the one who enabled us, who gave us the opportunity to find this blessed month. Indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pray for this month 2 months in advance, or even more so. And some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and our pious predecessors, the Salaf al-Salih, would pray for this month 6 months before it came, and would continue praying for acceptance 6 months after it had left. So this is an enormous gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an enormous blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we find ourselves in this month. And by Allah, none of us knows if we will be around next year or not to catch this blessed month. So let us appreciate it, let us take advantage of it, and most importantly, let us thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. This is the month which is filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is filled with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is filled with the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises to shower the believers with His gifts during this month. We all want this month to be a blessed month. We all want this month to be a good month for us. We want this month to be a fulfilling month. And this is what we likely wished one another. So when Ramadan comes in, we send greetings to one another, we meet one another, we give dua to one another, send cards to one another, call one another, and we wish each other a blessed Ramadan, and we wish each other acceptance. And that is why, inshallah, this masjid will likely be filled today. This is why we are filling up the rows at night. This is why we are fasting during the day. Because we are rushing towards goodness. We are trying to rush towards goodness because these are the things that will make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. Why? Because we don't want to be deprived. We don't want to be deprived. We don't want to find ourselves at the end of the month with nothing. We don't want to be like the person who works the entire month or the whole week and then finds out that the company has gone bankrupt and there's no paycheck. Right? We don't want to be one of those type of people. We don't want to be deprived, we want to benefit from this. And we don't want to be like the person that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described. He said, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ حَبُّهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشِ وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ حَبُّهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ السَّهَرِ. That perhaps a fasting person will get nothing from his fast except for hunger and thirst. That there are some people who get nothing from their fast except for hunger and thirst, and perhaps a person could be like the one who stands for prayer at night, yet he gets nothing from his standing except sleeplessness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being one of those who go through this blessed month and see and attain nothing, and do not seek and attain the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we want to be those who are blessed. We want to be those who benefit from this month. We don't want to be those who are losers at the end of the month. And for that, we need to try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to try to get on His good side. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have a good opinion of us. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love us. We want to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now a student cannot get or attain a teacher's happiness if the student is lazy and gets D's and F's. Will your teacher be happy if you get D's and F's? And if you're lazy? No. Right? So if a student doesn't work hard, a student is lazy, gets D's and F's on his report card, on his or her report card, the teacher will not be happy. In the same way, an employee cannot get the pleasure of his or her employer by constantly showing up late, by constantly not working during work hours, by constantly breaking company rules. These things will not allow an employee to attain the pleasure, the satisfaction of his or her employer. So to make this month Now, if a person does this, so let's say if a student is lazy and is getting bad grades, or if an employee is not doing his work or her work properly, there is a way to go back. There is a way to reverse that. And if that person has any chance of being successful, it's through apologizing and through changing his or her ways. If there's any chance of being successful as a student or as an employee who's constantly not successful, who's constantly getting bad grades or constantly not doing what he or she is supposed to do at work, there's one way of going back, and what is that? By changing the ways and by apologizing. So to make this month truly blessed for ourselves, we've got to sincerely turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and apologize. If you want to be successful in this month, we've got to sincerely turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and apologize. And this is indeed what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وتوبوا إلى الله جميعا أيها المؤمنون لعلكم تفلحون. And all of you beg Allah to forgive you. Everyone, no exceptions. All of you beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you, O believers. Why? So that you may be successful. So as human beings, we are designed in such a way that we cannot be perfect in anything. If I'm good at something, I'll have weaknesses at something else. If somebody is good at a particular skill, he or she will have weaknesses in some other area. Likewise, if we are good at doing some acts of worship, we will be lacking in some other areas. So there is none of us, nobody in this room right now, who is 100% perfect. So every one of us, at one point or another, will make mistakes and will commit sins. And even after being a believer, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the believers, أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, O believers, get together, seek repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turn to Allah, seek forgiveness so that you may be successful. So being a believer, even as a believer, we still need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have said, all the sons of Adam are sinners, meaning all human beings are sinners. So everyone is a sinner. And the best amongst the sinners are those who repent. Who are the best among the sinners? Everyone is a sinner. So we're all in the same boat. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter if I'm standing up here talking to you. If you're coming to the masjid for the first time this year. It doesn't matter. We're all in the same boat. We're all sinners. But who is the best of the sinners? The best of the sinners are those who repent for their sins. Now sinning, of course, committing misdeeds, doing things that make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unhappy, is not something that should be taken lightly. However, this is an important point. It should be understood that this is something that all human beings go through. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ يَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ كَأَنَّهُ قَاعِدٌ تَحْتَ جَبَلٍ يَخَافُ أَن يَقَى عَلَيْهِ. That the believer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is contrasting how the believer perceives his sins and how a disbeliever perceives his or her sin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, A believer sees his wrong actions as if he were sitting under a mountain which he fears will fall on him. The believer sees his wrong actions, his sins, as if he were sitting under a mountain which he fears was going to fall on him. You know, I'm from Montreal, so I can crack a joke about Montreal. So there's this, it's not actually, it's pretty serious, because every now and then something happens on the highway and something falls, right? So this past week, there was a huge beam in a tunnel downtown that fell onto the highway. Luckily, alhamdulillah, nobody was hurt, nobody was injured. Such is the state of our roads, in any case. So people are now worried about driving in rush hour. People are worried about driving in rush hour through tunnels and under overpasses, or through underpasses, because they don't know what's going to fall next, right? So, and then some people were saying, you know what, I don't want to drive through there. I'm going to try to take a detour because I don't want anything falling on my head, right? So this is the same feeling that a believer has about committing sins. A believer is concerned that it's like a mountain. His sins are like a mountain that are going to fall on his head. And the impious person, the impious person sees his wrong actions. وَإِنَّ الْفَاجِرَ يَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ كَذُبَابٍ مَرَّ عَلَىٰ أَنْفِهِ. And the impious person sees his wrong actions like flies passing over his nose. And he does this. And one of the narrators put his hand in front of his nose like this. So if there's a fly or a mosquito that comes in front of your face on your nose, what do? Right? You just brush it off. It's nothing serious, right? Unless you're like my daughter and you're scared of flies too, and that's a different matter. But generally, when a fly comes on your nose in front of your face, right? It's nothing serious. You just whoosh, and then it flies away. So the believer, how does a believer see his or her sins? Like a mountain which is about to fall anytime upon the person. And the impious person will see his wrong actions and sins as something very minor. Just like a little fly that you just brush off. And it's like, okay, whatever, it's gone now. And then you continue on with your way. So the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would really feel this. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would feel this so much so that they were extremely concerned when they would commit a sin or when they made a mistake. So of course they were human beings, right? The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though they lived at the best of times with the Prophet himself alaihi salatu wasallam, even then they would commit mistakes, they would make sins. But when that would happen, they would not let it just pass by. They would not just put it in the closet and think, okay, here's a skeleton that I'll think about when I grow older. Okay, in my closet. Let's get the analogy. But instead, what they would do is, they would head straight for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would not bury it under the rug. They wouldn't just let it pass. Instead, they would head straight for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and try to find out, what can I do to redeem myself from this sin? What can I do to erase this sin? How can I clean myself again? So the moment they realized that something was wrong, the moment they realized, oh, I shouldn't have done that, or astaghfirullah, I just committed a sin, they would go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and try to find out, okay, what do I do to fix it? So it's a human trait to sin, right? So even at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were cases of adultery. There were, cases when a person engaged with an unrelated woman unlawfully, or they felt like they were being hypocrites. In all of these cases, and others as well, what would they do? They would want to find out, how can I redeem myself? How can I fix myself? How can I make up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can I make up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And they had so much concern for their misdeeds that they would be willing to do whatever it takes to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? They would be so concerned about this. Again, why? Because it's like a mountain that's about to fall on top of your head. If you know that your ceilings, something's about to collapse on top of you, you're going to act quick to try to fix that, right? Or at least get out of it, right? If you know you're inside a building that's structurally weak and that can collapse at any moment, you want to get out of there as soon as possible. You want to do something about it. You're not just going to sit around and think, well, okay, I'll see. Maybe I'll fall on me or whatever, I'll see in an hour. No, you won't do that, right? You'll move right away, very quickly. So in the same way, they would also move very quickly and try to find out. And even if it meant that they would be giving up what they held most dear to them, so whether it was their family, their wealth, their life, it didn't matter. If it meant giving up any of these things, and that meant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be happy, that's what they would do. It wouldn't matter. Because the most important thing to them was to make Allah happy. To attain the pleasure and the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was priority number one. So they didn't take it lightly, but also what's important to note here is that they weren't so ashamed of committing the sin that they didn't want to seek help. Right? Of course, it's not good to go around boasting about your sin. You don't want to do that. You don't want to tell others about your sins unnecessarily. However, that should not stop you. The shame associated with the sin should not stop a person from seeking help. The shame associated with committing a particular type of sin, or any sin for that matter, should not stop a person from seeking help. And others who find out about this person's sin should not look down upon that person either. Right? They should not look down upon the sinner either who has repented. So if a person has repented from a sin, and we don't know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have accepted their repentance and may have forgiven them and cleaned them even more so than how clean we may be. Right? We may actually be more dirtier and have more sins than the person who just committed a sin but then sought repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nobody has the right to look down upon anyone else, especially if that person has repented. Once a woman at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam committed fornication, and the famous companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam verbally abused her, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimanded her. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimanded him, saying, "She has made such a repentance. She has made such a repentance that if her repentance, if her tawbah were to be divided among 70 people, among 70 men of Medina, it would be enough for them." Subhanallah. This is how sincere she was in her repentance. Yes, she committed a major sin. And she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to redeem for it, to find out how she could pay for it, and she paid for it. And her repentance was so deep, it was so sincere, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if that repentance was spread over 70 people, which is to say many people, many men in the city of Medina, it would be enough for all of them. That's how powerful it was. So this is about taking our sins importantly, right? Taking our sins seriously and thinking of them as something important. So don't boast about them, don't go around telling people unnecessarily. But also, if you need to seek help, if you need advice, if you want to figure out what to do, how to stop a particular type of sin, ask someone who can help you. Ask someone who can help you. You know, if you come to me and tell me something, I keep it private. I don't go around telling people. Okay? I'm not discussing what people have come to me, what type of problems they have come to me. I'm not telling anyone any names or even situations. Okay? So if you need to seek help, if you want advice, by all means, go to someone who you can trust and who will give you sincere advice. And it's also important to be realistic when we hear about people committing sins. Right? So like I said, don't look down upon them. Rather, create a culture which is supportive. Create a culture in the community which is supportive. So if you find out that someone is involved in a particular type of sin, if someone needs help, you don't look down upon them, you don't make fun of them, you don't, you know, disgrace them, you don't kick them out of the community. Rather, you welcome them, you support them, and you help them turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's precisely what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. That's precisely what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do. People would come to him with problems, with sins, with things they had done. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would help them along, would help them, teach them how to get forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we know, was protected from sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had protected the Prophet alayhi wa salatu wa sallam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from sin, yet even the Prophet alayhi wa salatu wa sallam would turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeking forgiveness many times a day. Many, many times a day. Not just once a day. Not 5 times a day. Not 10 times a day. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ya ayyuha an-nas, tubu ila Allahi wa astaghfiru." Turn you people in repentance to Allah and beg pardon of Him. فَإِنِّي أَتُوبُ فِي الْيَوْمِ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ. For I turn to Him in repentance 100 times a day. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, protected from sin, right? Guaranteed Jannah, nothing to worry about. Yet, is turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times a day seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that was the state of the best person that has ever lived, what is our state? How many times should we be turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeking His forgiveness? This is something for us to think about. So what we've got to do is conduct a self-evaluation, self-diagnosis. Where am I going wrong? What are my bad habits? What are the sins I'm involved in? You know, a very good way of figuring that out. What are the things I used to do before Ramadan that I'm not doing inside Ramadan? What are the things I was involved in before Ramadan but I'm not doing in Ramadan? What are these things? How can I stay away from them? How can I get rid of them? What things haven't worked for me? What are some of the actions, some of the deeds that I was involved in that haven't worked, that haven't given me any good, that are not giving me any inner peace, that are giving me stress, that are giving me trouble, that are not making things work out for me, for my family, and so on. So we figure this out. We think of ourselves sincerely, maybe at night, when you're lying in bed. Think about yourself. Think, what kind of person would you really want to be? The way you are right now, are you happy with how you are? Is this the way you want to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you confident that if you face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the state in which you are in right now, Allah will be happy with you? Are you confident of that? Or are you not confident of that? If you're not, then what can you do to fix that? What can you do to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can you fix yourself? So you think about all of these things. Then you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The door to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always open. It's always open. You don't need to knock to go in. The door to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always open. In Ramadan, it's open even wider. In Ramadan, the door to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is open even wider. So you just walk right in, you just drop yourself in front of Him, and you just spill it all. You just spill all the beans, everything that you've been trying to hide, all the things that you know you're ashamed of, all the things that you wish, you know, you aspire, all the things that you wish to do, all the things you regret, you just spill them all in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. O you who believe, turn to Allah with a sincere repentance. Right? Don't just, when the imam is making dua, then you just say ameen and that's it. Or you just make a few du'as and that's it. No. Do it sincerely. Do it with sincerity. Do it thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attentively listening to every single word that you're saying. And you're sitting right in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what's the process for repenting? 3-step process. Okay? So number one, you got to stop the action of disobedience. So whatever action we're involved in, the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you've got to stop that. Okay, you've got to stop, and you've got to stop right now. Because when something is wrong, we stop to fix it right away. Okay, so stop the action of disobedience. Secondly, regret it. Feel bad about it. We should have a feeling of guilt. Guilt, when it comes to our sins, is something that is good. We should be feeling guilty when we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has blessed us with all the parts of our bodies, with our life, with our wealth, with our family, with our homes, with our food, every single thing that we have. Yet we are using these same things to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are using all of these blessings to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is wrong. This is wrong. And therefore, we've got to feel bad about it. We've got to feel regret. We've got to feel guilt. Once we have that, then, thirdly, we make a solid resolve. A solid resolve. Not just like, you know, a New Year's resolution. That people make resolutions. I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year. Right? And all the fitness clubs and, you know, all the gyms start sending out flyers and people sign up. Go for a week or two and everyone stops going and they make a killing off that. Right? Okay, so not that type of resolve. Okay, you've got to have a solid resolve. A solid, sincere resolve never to return to that sin. Never to return to that sin. And then really try not to. Right? And then really, really, truly try not to go back to that sin. However, if it so happens that you end up relapsing, after you have tried your best, after you have made the solid resolve, if after that you end up relapsing, then you go through back to step one and you try the same process again, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you inshallah, provided you are sincere in all of these steps. If you're sincere and if you're true to your word in all of these steps, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. Can we just make some room inshallah, move forward, fill in all the gaps? Because we have brothers waiting outside. Is that all okay? So make a solid resolve not to return to that sin and actually try your best. Right? Try your best. Not like when we were kids and our parents or our teacher tell us to do something and you say, yeah, I tried my best. But you know, deep inside you know you didn't really try your best. Not that type of best. The true, actual best to the best of your ability. You know, when a wife gets upset, right? What does the husband usually do, or what wife expects the husband to do, is to make up, say sorry, you know, maybe get some flowers, a gift or something, you know, make up for whatever he did. So we also need to show our love and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said that he had embraced and kissed a woman unlawfully. So he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he informed him about this. So again, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes and he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this, meaning he needs help. He's seeking help, he wants to be forgiven, he's trying to figure out what he should do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed the verse, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ, that and offer prayers perfectly at the two ends of the day and in some hours of the night. And the commentators of the Quran say that this means the five daily prayers. Verily, innal hasanat yudhibna sayyi'at, the good deeds remove, they annul the evil deeds. So the indication we get this from, and also the man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He thought he was special, right? So he said, is it only for me? Right? Is this commandment for me? Because I came for help. And Allah has revealed this verse for me. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, it is for all my followers. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, this is for all my followers. So what is the indication? That, of course, offering our five obligatory prayers is a means of seeking forgiveness for the minor sins that we have committed, but also that the best way to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best way to repent and to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through prayers. So the best way to do it, make it an intimate, make it a private affair in the darkest of the night, a point where nobody can see you, nobody can hear you ideally. Offer two raka'ah prayer. Think of all the things that you have done, all the sins that you have committed since the time you became mature. So since you stopped being a child, since the time of puberty, think of all the sins that you have committed. And think of how you're going to feel when all of these sins are displayed on the Day of Judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in front of everyone else. What will be the feeling, right? How will you feel when this entire list, this charge sheet, is read out and is shown in front of everyone on the Day of Judgment? So then, you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, you cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing wrong, you know, we look down upon crying, especially men. You know, I think it's like a sign of weakness or something. There's nothing wrong with crying. Crying is a natural emotion, crying in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wonderful. This is something we should aspire to do. Every single salah, every single time we recite the Qur'an, every single time, every single night that we come here for Taraweeh, this is what we should be aiming to do. Crying in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Showing our humility, showing our weakness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you talk to Allah, you fess up for everything that you have done, you admit your faults, you admit your mistakes, you admit your weaknesses and admit your shortcomings. Okay, you admit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I am weak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Allah, I am a sinner. Oh Allah, I am nothing. I am turning to you, whatever you have given me is what I have. I am nothing. I don't deserve, if you start judging me for every single one of my misdeeds, I don't even deserve a drop of water. I don't even deserve a drop of water. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts taking us to account for every single misdeed, every single sin that we commit, we don't even deserve a drop of water. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful towards us. And thus, He feeds us and He takes care of us and He gives us wealth and so many things in our lives. So then you do all of this in front of Allah. You promise that you will try your best to please Him. And after this Ramadan, after tonight, after the time, right now, when you make this resolve, you will be a new person. You will be a new person. You will have a fresh start. You'll stomp away all the bad habits once and for all. And my dear brothers and sisters, the time for this is right now. The time for this is right now. If you decide right now, I'm going to stop. Right now, right at this second. If you decide, I need to stop doing these things. I need to stop committing this sin. This is the time to do it, because by Allah, we don't know when our time is going to be up. We do not know when our time is going to be up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. You just recited this the other day in Taraweeh. إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ. That verily the tawbah, the repentance, truly, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts and which He likes, is for those who commit a sin. For those who commit a sin out of ignorance, right? Or foolishness. So true tawbah, true repentance is for those who commit a sin out of foolishness, out of ignorance. ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ. And then they quickly repent. And then shortly thereafter they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those are the ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Tawbah, the true repentance, is not for those who continue committing sins. Who commit sins. حتى إذا حضر أحدهم الموت قال إني تبت الآن. And then when the time of death comes to them, when the angel of death is seen coming, the angel of death is seen by many people at the time of death. Right? You see the angel of death coming towards you out of nowhere. And you think, OMG. Right? Kids. You say, Ya Allah, this is the time. This is it. I'm gone now. Everything's finished. And then you say, Oh Allah, I seek forgiveness. Please forgive me. It's too late now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is too late. Your forgiveness, that is not the time for tawbah now. That is not the time to say OMG, and that is not the time to say Ya Allah, that is not the time to say I seek forgiveness, oh Allah forgive me, because it's too late now. The time has come. And by Allah, we don't know when that time is going to come. It could come when you're going home right now. Right? It could come tonight, it could come tomorrow, it could come any time. Right? All the people who die in the world, I could guarantee you, if you ask most of them, none of them would have probably thought that they were going to die today. None of them would have thought that. None of them would have planned for that. Right? But that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed. So the lesson is that we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we seek Allah's forgiveness, and we try to do it right away. I'm short on time, but I really want to read this poem that was written by one of our participants in the youth program that we were holding called Strive. And this was written by Sister Fatima Abdullah, and I just want to read this because I thought it was very touching. She writes, "Something heavy on his mind is robbing him of sleep. Something heavy on his mind is robbing him of sleep. He tries to clear his thoughts, but regrets are set too deep. When will this inner aching end? He does not know. The dark memories of his past refuse to let him go. Foul words he used to utter, shameful things he used to see. The cheating and the bribes he thought would bring prosperity. The needy people and their pleas he always would ignore. But worst of all, the connection he had severed with his Lord. The dark and empty room soon begins to fill with sobs. And as despair creeps into him, his heart begins to throb. If only his misdeeds could drip away with every tear. If only his misdeeds could drip away with every tear, he would cry every night until his record becomes clear. With the last bit of hope left inside him, he prays, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, surely I have gone astray. You're the only one who can forgive my every sin. So forgive all I've done in that heedless state I was in. He feels closer to his Lord than he ever has before. A sense of peace descends upon him. His faith is now restored. From now on he will strive. Even though he knows he's weak, he lies on his bed and swoon falls asleep. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me, first of all, and grant all of us forgiveness in this blessed month. By Allah, if we were to die today, we don't know in what state we would face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what would happen to us in our graves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His forgiveness and His mercy upon us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us through this month with those who have won and who have gained a lot. And by Allah, if you gain the forgiveness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have definitely gained a lot. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.